North, Douglas County Planning Commission, now in session. Minutes, we had a couple of corrections or changes in the minutes.
I'm going to talk. I wasn't turned on. Comments on the minutes? Anybody?
Commissioner Harris.
I had sent a couple of changes to the commissioners, and I'd be happy to make a motion to approve with those changes if there aren't any questions.
I think Laura had a change also.
Uh-huh, okay.
Her correction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you send it?
I sent it to Denny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Motion's in order then.
Second.
I move that we approve the December 2010 minutes with changes from myself and Commissioner Berger.
Second. Second by Commissioner Hurd. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 10-0 with the student in affirmative. Any committee reports? Mr. Hurd, I think you have, might have one.
Yeah, the Agritourism Committee met again. I think it was the first week in January, am I right? We met with some of the persons out in the community that are doing agritourism activities, and it was very enlightening. And we had a thorough discussion of the CUP process and the problems that they've encountered and suggestions that they have. So, very enlightening.
Thank you. Any other committee reports? Scott, any written communications, anything other than we had one, but
just what we've posted on your online agenda packet here.
Anything else from staff or anybody else?
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to take a little opportunity to brag on kind of a neat thing that it's been a little while in the making, but this bike rideability map was processed through our MPO and through the Bicycle Advisory Committee, and then we received a grant I believe from LiveWell Lawrence, the group that's affiliated with them, to print out about 10,000 copies of this. I thought it was a real creative way to get this rideability map out there. It's sort of in the vein of a ski slope where you got your green, red, yellow, black, whatever color-coded kind of difficulty levels for families and for experienced riders, street versus off-street paths, those sorts of things. And so we're going to try to get these into all kinds of different bike shops and parks and rec buildings. And if you've got a business that you want a handful, we're happy to, if you have any kind of recreation, sailboat kind of businesses or anything, we're happy to give you a handful and see if they fly off your counter space. So just wanted to tell you about that project a little bit.
I'm not sure you can ride a bike on a sailboat, but
very cool.
Any ex parte disclosures? Yes, Laura.
I received a very nice and kind note from Marcy Francisco indicating that she had donated a tree in my honor. So to that, I wanted to share with everyone. You might have gotten the same cards, but that was new and different.
Super.
I was on a Christmas list, Christmas card list too, so.
Hey, any other ex partes? Any abstentions? Okay, we'll go right ahead with item number one, which is a final development plan for Crossgate Drive Casitas, 2451 Crossgate.
Good evening. This item is a final development plan. It's most typically on a consent agenda when we have longer agenda items. So I don't have a full scale presentation to you. You have considered this project through the preliminary development plan, which went to the City Commission and was approved. And the second phase of that approval process is to prepare and approve a final development plan. And that final action is tonight with this body. The final development plan is just exactly like the preliminary with the number of units and parking. There's a fair amount of landscaping and open space that is associated with this project, and staff has recommended approval of it.
Any questions for staff? Thank you. This is a non-public hearing item, so it's up here with us for discussion, motions, thoughts? Commissioner Finkeldey.
Denny's great. I see Denny wore purple for the K-State Baylor game tonight. That's very nice. I would move for approval of the final development plan of the Crossgate Drives at Casitas as set forth in item one, based upon the findings of fact in the staff report and with the conditions set forth therein.
Second by Commissioner Hurd. Is there any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Harris.
I voted against the preliminary plat for this project because I felt that the area plan would have been better to complete before this. But since that has been approved by the City Commission and they were not persuaded by my thinking, and our job here is to approve this consistent with the preliminary plan, I'll be voting in favor of the motion.
Any other comments on the motion? All in favor? Your right hand. All opposed, same size. Motion carried 10-0 with a student in affirmative. Now we're in the public hearing items. Item number two is a variance for 5217 Branchwood Court for a peripheral setback variance.
Hello, I'm Mary Miller, a planner with the Lawrence Douglas County Planning Office. This item is a revised final development plan. It's requesting a variance from the peripheral setback, which is required with plan developments developed under the pre-2006 development code. The property is located south of West 6th Street. It's about midway between Wakarusa Drive and the K-10 bypass. It's nearly straight south of the Queens 6th Street intersection. The subject parcel is in the southwest corner of the development. The pre-2006 development code required this peripheral setback with planned developments in order to ensure compatibility with surrounding developments and to serve as a buffer. The area is currently developed residentially, and the planned development, while it's slightly more dense, is very similar to the other residential properties. If this were not a planned development, the required rear yard setback would be 30 feet. Rather than the 35 that's now required. This is a detail from the plan which is included in your packet. On the south side of the structure, there is an existing deck. It's about 12 feet wide, I believe, and it has a 4-foot stairway, and they want to expand that widthwise to be a 16-foot deck with a 4-foot stair. It's currently extending 10 feet out into the rear yard, and that would not change. With the peripheral setback, you were able to put decks and patios. You just could not put a building within the setback. They propose to screen this in and roof it and make it a screened-in porch so it would be more usable in the summer months since it is on the south side of their building. You can see quite a bit of landscaping shown on the development plan. And this is an aerial which shows the landscaping in the area. They do have some evergreen trees right adjacent to the deck area, several other trees, and there's a privacy fence separating this parcel with this lot to the south, and there's quite a bit of landscaping on the southern lot as well. In staff's opinion, granting this variance to allow this deck to be converted to a porch would not negatively impact the property to the south, and staff recommends approval of the variance requested. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I believe the applicant is here as well to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for Mary at this time? Would the applicant like to come forward and make a statement?
I'm Gary Boyer, and Mary just done a good job of describing what we're trying to do. Our basic motivation is in the summer months, as you can see, that south-facing wall reflects sun. It comes over the trees in the area, and it basically makes the deck unusable, which makes the backyard pretty much unusable. My wife and I care for our grandchildren during the weekdays, so our children work, and would kind of like to use the backyard, but we're not going to put them out there if we can't sit out there and watch them. So that's really the motivation. It's not a big deal, but seemed like a worthwhile improvement to our property.
Any questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you. This is a public hearing item. If anyone from the public is here to speak, please come forward and sign in.
Good evening, I'm Tim Van Leer. I live at 5213 Branchwood Court. I'm Mr. Boyer's neighbor to the east, and I'm here just in favor of his variance application. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Anyone else? Seeing no one else, I move we close public comment. And second by Commissioner Singleton. Any thoughts on the motion? Not all in favor?
We need to make a motion.
I made the motion.
Motion to close
the public hearing.
Opposed. Motion carries 10-0 with the students in affirmative. Now it's back up here. Now you can make the motion. Discuss whatever.
I move on item two that we pass the variance as laid out with the staff recommendations for 5217 Branchwood Court.
Second.
Second. Second by Commissioner Dominguez. Any comments on the motion? If not, all in favor? All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 10-0 with the student in affirmative. Item number three is to go from RS5 to RSO at 1701 Massachusetts Street to make the building usable for a veterinarian for cats only.
At a cat house.
Cat. I wasn't going there.
You gotta be pretty old to know that expression.
Okay. Sheila Stogsdill, the assistant planning director, filling in for Michelle Leininger, who is feeling ill. You have a rezoning request, which is located on the southwest corner of 17th and Massachusetts. It is currently a church and has RSO zoning to the south, a property that was redeveloped a number of years ago for a private office. Across the street to the east is Babcock Towers. To the north, you have single family detached and owner occupied homes. Interesting, that block was all owner occupied. To the northwest, there is another church along Vermont, and then there are single family homes directly to the west, and there's apartments farther south on the west side of Massachusetts Street. The rezoning to RSO is a rezoning that still maintains the ability for the property to redevelop as a residential facility at some point. The office use is considered less impactful from a traffic standpoint than the church that exists right now. And the property, the RSO, is a transition zone which provides a buffer to those residential properties to the north and to the west. We have recommended that, Michelle had this all laid out. So just as I just said those things, staff has recommended approval of the rezoning and forwarding of that to the City Commission with a recommendation for approval. I would be happy to answer any questions, and I know the applicant is here and available to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for staff at this time? Thank you, Sheila. Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Mr. Harris.
Sheila, I have a question about a use that is allowed in RSO that is not allowed in residential, and that is accessory parking facilities. What is that?
That would be a parking lot. You might have a separate lot that, you know, say this was the church wanting to expand and purchase property adjacent, they might rezone to RSO so that they could have an additional parking lot. One of the best examples is probably there's the parking lot that is directly north of Castle T and directly south of the mortuary, and that was an accessory parking lot that, you know, was developed after the mortuary was built and then purchased to be supplemental parking for that use.
So it's a separate lot, but it's accessory to a use on another lot?
Yes.
Okay. And then I also noticed that for RSO, you can have a homeless shelter or a community meal program when you can't in a residential area.
You could. They would require special use permits.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions at this time for staff? Would the applicant like to make a presentation?
Hi, I'm Dr. Jenny O'Driscoll. I've been a veterinarian for about 7 years, and it is my dream to have, I won't call it a cat house, but an all-cat veterinary hospital, just my way of specializing. And that's my dream. The opportunity to own a business on Mass Street is definitely also a dream for me. Being able to repurpose the vacant church as a cat hospital would just be ideal, in my opinion. That's about it. Any questions you have for me, I can definitely answer.
Commissioner Hurd.
Why are you discriminating against dogs?
That's not the first time I've gotten that question.
Me too.
And I guess the simplest way, I actually love dogs. And I have a dog, have a cat too. As patients though, cats, if you have a cat, you may know, they're kind of special. Cats don't necessarily like dogs. When they come to the vet, a lot of times it's not a very fun experience. And an all-cat facility, it is more calm for the cat. There's not barking dogs. It's just more of a homey cat kind of place. And that's why I'm trying to do all cats.
I wish you the best of luck with it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for the applicant? Commissioner Harris.
I have a question for you about the uses. I may speak with the commission later about the possibility of conditioning the zoning to exclude the uses of a transitional shelter in a community meal program. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you would object to that for your piece of property.
I would not object to it. Obviously, I want the Cat Clinic of Lawrence to be there for, mm-hmm. 50 years. I would not object to that.
Thank you.
But in fact, I think, are you not leasing the property?
I will not be the owner of the property at this point. I'll be the tenant.
But it is up for sale, is that correct?
No.
Sorry?
My name is George Bailey. I have the property under contract, And I do not have an objection to your idea of not making it a transitional homeless shelter, et cetera. And again, happy to answer questions.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else here from the public that would like to speak? Seeing no one else, I move we close public comment.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hurd. Any discussion? All in favor? All opposed, same sign. Get you next time. Carries 10-0 with a student in affirmative. That's back up to us for discussion or motions or... Commissioner Harris.
So I'll bring up my discussion of those two exclusions in a conditional zoning. And the reason is that Massachusetts is a gateway to the community, and there's also a lot of single-family owner-owned and lived-in houses in the area, and I think it would not be healthy to have those two uses in that location.
What were the two again?
A homeless or transient shelter and community meal program.
Other comments? Commissioner Finkeldey.
As often is the case, I'm not a big fan of conditionally zoning, but remind me, Scott, make sure we do have it set up now in our system that we can track that a little better than we used to be able to with the online system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm generally not a big fan of, you know, conditionally zoning, but I mean, I understand your point, and I'm not going to vote against it. Just want to be sure.
Other comments?
Scott, do you have a comment?
I would, Mr. Chairman. Just looking at this, the temporary shelter and the community meal programs, as Sheila mentioned, are special use permits. If they're primary uses on the property, they're also allowed as accessory uses to the religious institutions. So there's that dimension of that request, so that if you recall, as an accessory use, since there was a church there, could that become a church in the future? Is your intention to restrict out the accessory shelter community meal program from a religious use as well? So I think wanted to get that out there. There's two different categories of use that we're talking about. The primary use requires special use permit. Accessory use would be allowed by right if there were a church there. And that's the smaller church, the 20-occupant church, the based loosely on the family promise model for temporary sheltering. So we're talking about the same things.
To answer Scott's question, I didn't know the difference, and I would say that the temporary smaller accessory use would be all right in that area, just not a larger facility as a primary use, from my perspective.
Other discussion? Commissioner Hurd.
I just want to make sure that I understand, Lisa. What if the use went back to a religious institution, would the restrictions apply?
No, because it would be an accessory use to that primary use as a church, and the impact would be much smaller.
Okay, great.
I'll make a motion.
Commissioner Harris, yeah.
I move to have
a discussion.
I move that we approve the rezoning for item number 3 from our RS5 to RSO, subject to the conditions in the staff report and the additional conditions to exclude the primary uses for homeless or transient shelters and community meal program.
Second by Commissioner DeMayes. Any?
We did change the name of shelter to temporary shelter instead of the transient homeless shelter. It's a small item, but.
I printed this off. Online.
I'm looking at the online version. We'll look at that. Okay. But we did revise that name.
Okay.
I might get your copy of that and try to find that.
Any discussion on the motion?
You get a second?
Yes, Commissioner Dominguez. All in favor? Opposed, same sign. Motion carried 10-0 with the student in affirmative. Item number four. Consider rezoning 2.4 acres from urban reserve to county agricultural.
Good evening, Commissioners. Dan Warner with the Planning Office. I'm going to talk to you about Z-12-1710, which is a request to rezone the property located at 1820 East 1450 Road from City UR Urban Reserve District to County A Ag District. The Planning Commission initiated this action on December 13th. The property owner is in agreement with this rezoning. If you remember, the subject property was de-annexed by Lawrence on October 12th. The subject property is a detached dwelling use on approximately 2.4 acres. Property currently does not have a valid zoning district because it was de-annexed by Lawrence. The property owner would like to get a building permit to build an accessory structure, but cannot because of a lack of a county zoning district. This is the subject property circled in blue. Ag zoning around it, industrial immediately south. Staff recommends approval of this rezoning request and forwarding that recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners. Have any questions?
Any questions for staff?
Can I just ask a procedural?
Sure.
Technical.
Just a technical question. This came up because he wanted to build an outbuilding, right?
Well, he would have. We were going to rezone the property anyway.
That was my question. When do we normally do that? Because I was just curious about how that usually goes.
This was a little bit of a unique situation.
Yeah,
it can happen concurrently with or shortly thereafter, or we do have some, usually it's annexing and then zoning to a city designation. Here we're de-annexing and going to a county, and so it depends a little bit.
Yeah, I only asked because I was curious about how it usually goes. Is there a reason? It can happen at the same meeting. It has to be, we have to pass it and it has to.
You can make a recommendation on an annexation and zoning at the same meeting.
So we could have done that.
We could have done that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so I know. Thank you.
Any other questions? I see no applicant or anyone else in the public that'd like to speak. So this discussion is up here or a motion?
Move to close the public hearing. Just
okay. Second by Commissioner Harris. Motion by Commissioner Finkeldey. All in favor? All opposed, same side. Close the public hearing. Pass 10-0 with a student in affirmative. Now back up here.
I move for approval of the rezoning request from UR to A based upon the findings of fact in the staff report in item number four and forwarding the recommendation to the county commission.
Second.
By Commissioner Singleton. Second by Commissioner Singleton. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? All opposed, same sign. Motion carried 10-0. I was prepared to tell him how to make Twinkies tonight, too.
Commissioners, item number five is also a rezoning request, Z-12-1810. It's for 315 Perry through 09 Perry and 528 North 3rd. This is a request to rezone approximately 0.6 acres from IG General Industrial to RS-7. The Planning Commission initiated this rezoning also on December 13th. The three property owners agree with this request. Properties are single-family dwellings and have been since 1900 or 1920. The single-dwelling use is considered non-conforming because single dwellings are not permitted in the IG district. This may cause property owners to have issues with refinancing, selling, perhaps with insurance. Approval of this request will allow the rezoning of the properties to reflect the actual use of the properties and designate them as conforming uses.
The south side of the 200 block of Perry Street was rezoned in 2005. 302 Perry Street was rezoned in August of last year. And this map shows the 200 block was rezoned, 302 Perry across the street, which when we rezoned this one, Planning Commission directed us to contact property owners, and we contacted these three and that one to see if they would like to rezone. We obviously heard an affirmative from these three, which is the subject of this rezoning. This one, we talked to an agent of the property. It's under foreclosure. We have not yet to hear back if they want to rezone or not. So when they, if they decide to, we'll bring that one back to finish off that block then. So that little bit of IG is remaining. Received one communication on this item. A gentleman that owns property on North 7th Street, a few blocks to the east of this rezoning case, would like to rezone his property here to a residential district. We encouraged him to make application. He's inquired in this office, in our office before about rezoning, and thinks that the Perry Street sort of is helping him with his request, so we may or may not see that request in the future. Staff recommends approval of this rezoning request and forwarding that to the City Commission for approval. Questions?
Any questions for staff? Not. This is a public hearing item. Seeing no one from the public, I move we close the public hearing.
Second.
Been moved and second by Commissioner Hurd that we close the public hearing. All in favor? All opposed, same sign. Motion carried 10-0 with a student in affirmative. Back up to us for motion, discussion. Mr. Harris.
I move that we approve the rezoning requests and item number 5 for the three properties listed based on the findings in the staff report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Singleton. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor? All opposed, same sign. Motion carried 10-0. Doing good. We did receive the note on this rezoning of lots 525. I assume 526, although it did not say that, and 527. But I think at this point, nothing is required of us until the applicant fills out an application, and then at that point, we'll have to decide what to do with that. So, anything else for tonight?
No.
I think we need a motion for adjournment since we don't meet on Wednesday night.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Dominguez, second by Commissioner Singleton. And we adjourn. All in favor, go home. Or someplace.
Yeah.
Game didn't start till late, Brad.
I think it's the